really great. And of course, I was just a rookie and pardon me, trying to make the ball club. And whether that helped or not, I don't know, but it didn't hurt me.
And do you remember your first at-bat in a real game?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Do you remember your first home run?
Well, that was, I think...
You hit two that year.
I hit two. The one that really stands out of the two, and it could have been, I don't know if it was my first one, but our son was born August of 26th. My wife was in New York at Lenox Hill Hospital. And I started that game in Detroit that day. Ted Gray was pitching. And my first time up, I hit a home run. And I'm circling the bases with a big smile on my face, happy and elated because our son was born that day and my wife was all right, the son was all right. And I get in the dugout and they give me the silent treatment. Nobody said anything. You know. Then all of a sudden they start hollering and jumping up and all that. But that was the one that I really remember. And the other one I can't remember where it was.
You hit 28 home runs in 6 seasons. Do you ever hit anybody? Hit any off anybody we'd know? Any Hall of Famers?
28. What year was that?
Well, I said you hit 28 home runs total, according to this.
In what year?
I mean, in your whole career.
Oh, with the Yankees. I mean, with the Major League Ball Club.
Yeah.
I mean. Oh, okay. I can remember one off of Chuck Stobbs and when I was playing with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And there was a 3-0 count. I looked down at the coach at third, and he gave me the hit sign. And it was a 1-1 ball game at that time.
It's the Senators?
Washington Senators, yeah, in Griffith Stadium. And he threw the pitch, and I hit the ball out of the park for a home run, which put us one run up, you know, at that time.
Wow.
So we ended up, with the Red Sox, we ended up in fourth place. And we each got $900 at that time, $900 for coming in.
Well, you know what Chuck Stobbs' big claim to fame is, right? He's the one who gave up mantles.
Mantles, right? And I was there that day.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah. I was 53.
Tell me about that.
It was amazing because I just happened to be concentrating on Mick when he was at the plate. And I don't know, I found out later the pitch was a changeup, but I was just watching him. And he didn't move bodily.
Jimmy,
I
mean, see my friend. Did you think?
We're great. I'm fine.
You're okay. Fine. I'm not through
more
yet.
Take good attention.
I'm fine. When he unloaded, I mean, it was everything. I mean, he came around beautifully and everything. And like I say, I was just watching him for whatever reason that particular time. And he really had a tremendous swing. And then hit the ball, and we all looked up, and we all stood up and watched the flight of the ball, and it was unbelievable. It went out of the ballpark, and they put a baseball up at that spot where the ball went out. And Charlie Dressen, who I think was managing the Washington Senators at that time, sat, and their dugout was on the first baseline, which allowed him to see left field all the time, and he was always looking at that ball. I think about 2 weeks later, he told him to take it down. He got tired of looking at it. It was a great, great moment, I'll tell you. I've never seen a man hit the ball like he could hit the ball.
Well, that's the amazing thing, because you figure if it was a changeup, he had to provide all that power.
That's right.
I mean, didn't you have more luck? I mean, didn't when you hit a fastball, didn't you feel there was chances of it to go further than hitting a changeup?
Yeah, that's true, but a lot of times the ball, it's the velocity of the bat against the ball. It would make more sense that if a man threw a fastball, if you hit it, that would go further. I've not ever calculated that out, but I know that I've seen a lot of long balls off of a changeup. Yeah.
Let me pause again. Okay, so 53, let's focus on that. I mean, after that year, you had to believe that you might have a future being an regular outfielder for the Yankees. I mean, did that cross your mind? I mean, you played well. It was your first year.
I thought that would be set for a while with the Yankees. Before the end of the season, we were going down in the stretch, and Casey, we were sitting on the bench, and I wasn't playing. We were playing the Philadelphia Athletics in New York, and Casey sat down next to me, and he said, Bill, he says, we're going down the wire now, and I'm not going to be able to play you. I'm going to have to go with Woodling, because he's a pro. You know, he's been here a long time, got a lot of experience, and we want to win the pennant in the series, so I won't be able to play. He says, if you want to play, I can send you down to Kansas City, and we'll be able to play every day. He says, but that's up to you. Think about it. Let me know after the game. So I said, okay. So I thought, I'm not going to send myself down. If he wants to send me down, that's fine. I can't do anything about it. But I'm sure I'm not going to send myself down after I fought to get up here, you know. And I have a job here. So I went back and after the game was over, I was showered and I was standing there shaving, and Ed Lopat was standing next to me, and he said, Bill, he says, I wasn't eavesdropping or anything. He said, I couldn't help but hear the conversation that you and Casey had. He says, don't go down to Kansas City. He says, stay here. If something were to happen to Woodling, you would be in, you know. And I said, no, thanks, because I've already figured that one out. You know, I'm not going to send myself down. So I went in after I got dressed. I went into Casey's office, and he just left. I asked the clubby, where did Casey go? And he said, he just went up to the office. And Casey had his own office, but he had a door that he could go up the stairs and go up to the main office. So I opened the door, and he was going up the stairs. Of course, he had the bad leg, so it took him a little while to get up. So I hollered, hey, Case, and he stopped, and I went up the stairs, and I was standing down about a step below him. And I said, well, about going back to Kansas City, I said, I'm not going to send myself down. If you want to send me down, fine. I said, but I'm going to stay here. And he says, oh, that's okay, kid. He says, don't worry. He says, we're going to make a trade this year. He says, you're going to be all right. And he flicked me under the jaw, under the chin. And I said, thank you. So I thought,
they're going to trade Woodling.
Well, I thought I was in. I don't know what the trade was about, but it sounded like he was assuring me that I would still be with the ball club. And I was very surprised when I found out I played winter ball that year, that winter, in Puerto Rico. And we were playing Ponce, which is on the other side of the island. And then we finished with Ponce, and then we played an exhibition game with an Army team. And so we were playing that game, and this guy came running out and said, Bill, you want it on the telephone? And the field was quite a ways away from the clubhouse. So I ran all the way back in and got on the phone. It was Associated Press writer telling me that I was part of a trade from the Yankees to the A's. And he said, do you have anything to say? And I said, no. I said, I'll wait until I get confirmation on it. You know. So that
well,
was...
That's what old that's an old famous Caseyism, Stengelism, when he says, what was he goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but one of us just got traded to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So that's right. I wanted to ask you about that team because we had so many people that have been so written about and talked about. And I guess first we start off with Casey. What do you remember? Do you have any Casey stories?
Well, one time we were in Chicago playing against the White Sox, and Billy Pierce was pitching. And Billy was always tough for me because he threw that hard, high fastball that always sailed. Mm-hmm. And I was at bat, and there was a man on first. No, there was a man on second. And I had swung at a couple of pitches, and all I was trying to do was make contact with the ball. You know, I wasn't trying to hit the ball real hard. I just wanted to make contact. And after the second pitch, Stengel hollers, and he comes running out, called me over, and he says, because he was hollering at me from the bench before that. And he says, what I was trying to tell you is first base is open. You know, I said, well, I know, Casey, but all I'm trying to do is hit the ball, you know. And he goes, oh, okay. And he goes back to the dugout, and I think I struck out because Pierce struck me out. I faced him 15 times, and he struck me out 12 times, I think.
Wow.
And I got 3 base hits off of him. And the base hits were off of breaking pitches. You know?
So he had your number probably more than any other pitcher in your career.
Yeah, that pitcher was the toughest for me to hit.
Is the riding fastball? Or?
It was, well, he's a left-handed pitcher, see? And he had a fastball that would tail off and rise up. You know, that's when he was younger and he could really come it. Probably, and I'd been smart, I would have laid off the pitch, but I was trying to get the base hit, you know.
So what did you think about Casey overall as a manager and as a person?
I enjoyed him. He treated me well. I had no complaints. I thought he was a pretty astute manager. He knew how to handle people. There were a couple of guys that didn't get along well with him. Gene Woodling was one. He didn't get along with Casey at all, but by and large, I didn't hear anyone complaining about him. We were winning, so they couldn't say too much, you know. And I think his record proves the fact that he was a good manager.
What was your hitting style like?
Well,
I held a hitter, opposite field.
I was not a dead pull hitter. I hit the ball where it was pitching in a lot of cases, more so in the latter part of my career than in the earlier part. I would tend to hit the ball to left field or left center. I had hit the ball to the right center occasionally, and not with a lot of power. That's one thing I'm amazed about nowadays, that these hitters are hitting home runs to the opposite field so often. I mean, it's just part of the game now, whereas before there were not that many opposite field home runs, you know. I'm amazed at the power that they have to the opposite field, whether that's because of the ball or whatever.
Enhancing.
Yeah.
Isn't that one guy who got caught for that from Hanford? Isn't Ken Caminiti from Hanford? No.
No. Caminiti was...
somewhere down there.
Fresno?
I thought he was Hanford. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
He went to San Jose State.
Right.
Ken Caminiti. I don't know. They're testing all these guys now. Bonds had to go testify.
Yeah.
You didn't have anything like that back then.
No.
Didn't some of the guys take speed?
Witnessed anyone taking anything or heard of anyone taking anything at all. You know, maybe other than aspirin or something like that. But we didn't use those kind of drugs.
They weren't as health conscious back then, though, right?
They were, but they weren't. In other words,
a lot of guys smoked, didn't they?
Oh yeah, I smoked, and they wouldn't allow you to. They didn't want you to swim.
Why?
There were no.
Drown or?
Oh well, I don't know, because I think it has a lot to do with the muscles. I guess they figured it would infringe on the muscles as far as swinging a bat or whatever, and there wasn't any weights in their clubhouse at all. You know. And this is a more recent thing that they've done, and evidently has enhanced the performance of these guys. You know?
Well, you look at some of these guys like Sosa when he first came in, and what he looks like now.
Right.
I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, it's unbelievable the way these guys have built up their bodies, and it's probably due to the fact that they are able to use all these weights and all these other activities that they can do.
Right.
They didn't want us to do when I was playing.
Did you lift weights?
No. Never have.
Never?
Yeah. I did the push-ups and sit-ups, but that's...
That's lifting weights in a sense, because you're lifting your body weight.
That's true, right? Yeah. I did that when I was, when I first started in college. I do it a lot in the summer, yeah. But as far as actually lifting weights, going to a gym or using barbells and... No, and they wouldn't, again, they would not want you to do that.
Well, let's talk about Yogi Berra. What do you remember about Yogi?
Yogi was one of a kind, naturally. I didn't have too much to do with Yogi when I was with the Yankees in 53, because being a rookie and, you know, you just hold your own place. And but I know I was playing with the A's, and we were in Yankee Stadium, and I was at the plate, and Yogi's catching, and he goes, "Hey, Bill," you know, he gives me that stuff, and then I'm at the plate, and he's picking up dirt and throwing it on my right foot, my back foot. You know, he keeps throwing dirt on my back foot. So I stepped out, and I told him, I said, "Yogi, come on now, leave me alone." I said, "I'm having a hard enough time up here without you screwing around with me," you know, and he laughed. And, but we've always got along well.
Did he ever recite any Yogi-isms in front of you?
No. Like I say, I didn't spend that much time with him or around him, you know.
Well, that was another thing that I've heard from Paulette and Triantos and some of the other guys, that the Yankee clubhouse was pretty cliquish. They kind of set it up in such a way that rookies were in one place, veterans were in another.
Oh, yeah.
And it took you a while, it took players a while to move up that.
You didn't get involved, you know, Rashies, Lopats, Reynolds. Those guys, they were over in their own area. And of course, they were congenial, you know, but you didn't spend a lot of time with them. You didn't, after the games, you didn't go out to dinner with them or whatever. You had your own group that you went out with, you know. Particularly being a rookie, I mean, just wet behind the ears, so to speak, and watching everything and not really participating in a lot of that stuff.
Was Pete Sheehy the clubhouse guy?
Pistol
at that
Pete,
time?
Yes, Pistol he was Pete. A clubhouse, yeah.
They said he used to have a half a cup of coffee and a cigarette ready for Joe.
Yeah.
He came out. Yeah. And what about Billy Martin?
Well, Billy.
How long had he been there when you were there? He was 25.
Let's see, in 53. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he went up in early, was it 51 or 52?
52, probably.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, because that was Mantle's rookie year, right?
52. Right, yeah.
What was he like? Did you foresee the
well, he and I got
laid ahead for him?
No, no, I didn't. I know he was very active, so to speak. He liked to party, and he and Mantle went out, you know, and Ford. And again, I didn't partake with a lot of that stuff because I was being a rookie, and I just didn't get along that well with them.
Was that whole thing in the Copacabana later?
It was, I think it was...
No, that was that year?
That was that year,
I
right.
See, Gus was there on your team.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what Gus joined us in the latter part of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, well, I heard about it. I wasn't with him.
Now, were you married then?
Or
you,
oh, yeah. Right, yeah. I was married.
So you were... You
I
not,
didn't do didn't all those good things, right. Because I was with my wife when those guys were out doing their thing, you know. But I'd heard about it and read about it, but there wasn't that much talk about it in the clubhouse.
You must have gone out with them a couple times.
No, I never did.
Never
no?
Had a drink with Mickey?
No, I never did. Mickey and I got along fine. There was no problem. It's just that it was a different group, you know.
Right. It's like,
not that it's necessarily cliquish, but you respected
right.
their position and they respected exactly. yours. And you went with your guys and they went with their guys. And
right.
when you went to the ballpark, you were a team. And then after that, you did your own thing, you know.
So Mantle hung out with Whitey and Billy.
Billy, yeah. And it, like I say, he and I got along fine. In fact, I don't know, it was 54 or 50... Five. I think we were in when I was with the A's. We were in New York, and he came up to the plate, and I wasn't playing that day, and I was in the dugout, and he comes up to the plate, and he starts to get set, and I hollered out, "Look out for the squeeze!" He steps out, goes down and gets some dirt, and starts laughing. He looks over at the dugout, and I don't know. I forget what he had. He did that at bat, but later on in the season, I was at the plate, and he was, I guess, had hurt himself or something. He was in the dugout. So when I come up to the plate, then he hollers out, "Look out for the squeeze!" You know? He gave me the same
shot. He remembered the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right. But he was that kind of a guy. He was just a good young kid, you know, young at heart.
How could he party like he did?
I don't know. It's amazing how these guys could do it. However, you know, when I was younger and in the minor leagues, I had a few beers on occasion myself, and it seemed to have a tendency to kind of loosen you up, particularly if you're having a bad go at the plate or whatever, you know.
Right.
And you needed something to relax, and that was a way to do it. And it didn't happen that often, but evidently, I guess he found a way to really relax, because he used to party quite a bit. I guess I wasn't with him, but is this what I heard?
Who was the guy that later, I don't think he played on these teams, he was a pitcher, and they said he was an alcoholic. He had like sunglasses, thick glasses, and they said that somebody told me he pitched a game actually drunk.
I want to say it's not Ryan.
I can't think. Yeah, Duran, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Duran.
He's not on this team.
Ryan Duran? No. No, he wasn't on that. I think it was Ryan Duran.
You're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I'd never faced him. I never played with him. But he was a hard thrower, but he was wild. Wild. Like the Rex Barney.
For the Cardinals.
And it was the Dodgers, I think.
Was he?
Yeah.
What do you remember about Gil McDougall?
Gil was a real neat guy. He was, of course, from the Bay Area, San Francisco. And
Is he still alive? Or?
Yeah, so when I went back to the card show, it was a year ago, to New York, he was there, and I saw him. I didn't get a chance to talk to him other than shake hands and say, hi, Gil, because he was signing autographs at that time. And the group that I was with, we'd signed our 2 hours, and we were leaving, and he just started his group.
They were getting shifts then.
Yes, at that particular show they did. And I went over and got in front of the line, just walked up and said hello and shook hands. And, of course, him being from the Bay Area, we were close, you know. But then I hadn't seen him since, you know.
Yeah.
And he's doing well now. He had a problem with his hearing, and he's got, I think he's had some operations and some equipment, and now is doing very well as far as
hearing. Well, he had a quality career.
Yes.
And a lot of people say that he is a... Thank you.
Can I get you anything else?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. They said that he had a... when he hit Herb Score, right? Isn't he the one that hit the line drive that hit Herb Score?
Right.
They said that kind of affected his career.
Knowing Gil the way I do, I think, yes, it probably did for a while.
Took it hard.
Right. And it was a line drive, and he could hit him, yeah.
And then you had Hank Bauer, former Marine or whatever.
That's right.
Tough guy.
Hank was a great guy. Great guy. He and I got along well together. He could throw that ball. He had a good arm.
But you played in 61 and Woodling played in 125.
Right.
So.
Well, like I say, Stengel told me you're not playing, you know.
But why do you think he did that when you were batting 314? I mean, Woodley batted. I mean, he had a more power, right? Not much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's on me.
He was more of a line drive hitter. He hit a few home runs, but he wasn't known as what you'd call a power hitter, you know.
And then Irv Noren.
Irv was
who did he platoon with?
Hank Bauer.
Hank Bauer. So the only full-time outfielder that I was making.
Right. Yeah.
And he only played in 127, so somebody was platooning with him, too. Either one of you guys.
Noren would play center field when Mick wouldn't play. I played a couple of games in center field because I played center field with the Kansas City Blues in 52 all year. Yeah.
Now, how did you describe your fielding?
I was a good outfielder. I had a good arm. And I could run even for my size because I played center field in Kansas City in 52. And the reason I played center field, the center fielder got hurt earlier in the season. I was playing right field. And I was the other most experienced outfielder at that time on the ball club. So they put me in
center field. So you and Woodling were platooning in right?
In left.
In left.
Yeah, the right field was Bauer. In Noren.
Would you prefer that? What field was easier to play in that stadium?
Actually, the easiest field to play is center field.
Right, unless you have to go back, way back.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that in right field and in left field, depending upon the hitter, of course, if they're the balls aren't coming straight at you. They're tailing, slicing, or whatever, mm-hmm. in left field or right field. Whereas in center field, normally the ball comes straight at you, you know.
But also in center field back then, they didn't have a fence separating the monuments from the... The ball can go right between the monuments, right? Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's right.
You ever see anybody run into those? Or?
No. No, I never. Because, you know, that they were so deep, the ball wouldn't be in the air by the time it got there. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be on the ground, so you would be chasing it.
So what do you remember about the 53 World Series? That must have been quite a thrill.
Yeah, it was. I didn't get to play, but I was on deck a couple of times to pinch hit.
Oh, really?
In fact, I was in Brooklyn, and during batting practice, Irv Noren was in batting practice, and he hit a... In those days, they had smaller batting cages. They didn't have the big ones. And Mickey was standing down on the third base coaching line talking to someone during batting practice. And Irv sliced his ball down the third baseline, and it hit Mickey in the right on his hand, back of his hand. I mean, dead hard, boom, and it just dropped. It didn't just glance. It hit and stopped. So he went in right away and put the ice back on and all that stuff. And then when infield started, and I think Johnny Padres was pitching for Brooklyn that day. So when infield came up, Stengel told me to go out in center field. So I took infield practice in center field. And in those days, you used to throw your glove down in the outfield grass before you put it out. So when I came in, I thought, well, I guess I'm going to play. So
my mitt's out there.
I threw my mitt out there. And my mother told me, of course, my mother and father were in the stands, and my dad belted her with his elbow and said, look, he's going to play, you know.
Here's his mitt.
Yeah. So I went into the clubhouse, and I went over to Mick. He was sitting there with his ice on his hand. And I says, how you doing? How is it, Mick? And he says, oh, it's fine. I'll be all right. I said, great. I patted him on the shoulder and walked away. And I thought, damn.
And what game was that?
Well, that was either the first or second game. It was in Brooklyn. And so I told the clubhouse guy, I said, go out and tell the bat boy to go out and pick up my glove. You know, I told him whether. So my dad told me later he was watching that glove, and he saw that guy go out and pick up the glove, and his heart dropped. You know? But that was that one particular time. And then when Erskine struck out 15, set a record at that time in that series.
That was the fifth game, right?
Well, I think it was the fifth game. And Don Bolwig pinch hit and Johnny Mize pinch hit in the last inning. And
both struck Stengel, out.
Yeah. And Stengel called me up, and I was on deck. And I told Bolwig, I says, do whatever, my roommate, he went up to pinch hit. I said, do whatever, get hit by a pitch, you know.
Throw yourself in front of it.
Yeah. But anyhow, he struck out, and then Johnny Mize struck out for the last out. So I was on deck, and I would have gone up to pinch hit had either one of them got on base one way or the other, you know.
And what was that? Did they score a lot of runs for Brooklyn that day? Or
no, it was a close game. It was a close game. I don't remember that they had. He pitched a great ball game. Yeah.
Do you remember when you won the sixth game? Was that in Ebbets or?
That was in Yankee Stadium.
Was that? Fun celebration there.
Oh yeah, that was great. You know, you just can't appreciate the feeling when something like that takes place and you're a part of it. You're sitting on the bench anyhow. You're holding them up, so to speak. You know, but.
So what do you remember? You all ran on and jumped all over each other.
Well, yeah. You know, you did the
seemed like the celebrations the Yankees had weren't as wild.
No,
it was like
Yeah.
One year when Kuzawa won it, I don't know what year that was, like 57.
Yeah.
He they didn't even celebrate at all. They just walked off the field, because I have it on DVD, all the World Series celebrations.
Yeah, right.
And now they just go crazy.
I know, yeah.
They like a bunch of idiots.
It wasn't that exuberant. There was, you know, a lot of patting and shaking and hugging and stuff like that, but none of the stuff that you see nowadays, you know.
You must have considered
a big pile of people laying out on the, you know.
You must have considered yourself pretty lucky. First year, World Series ring.
Absolutely. There are people that have played in the major leagues for years and years and years and have never been in a World Series or don't have a World Series ring. And I am very fortunate that was there. Yeah. Timing is everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, what a lot of times guys will get in a World Series like that, like, let's say, Brooklyn in this situation, And then I think, oh, there'll be plenty more, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Marino said that. He thought that after he lost to the Niners in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm going to be in a lot more.
That's right.
He never came. So you have to get there. You have to get it when you're
that's
there.
That's right.
You know?
Well, you know, I think that that would, in those days, there was more chance of having it happen again because the team would be one and you weren't going to lose somebody because of free agency and all that, you know. Once you were there, you were there.
Right.
Unless they wanted to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And now the player has a choice.
Right.
And that's good or bad. I don't know. As far as the team, the continuity is different because you don't have these people there year in, year out.
You know, one player playing with one team his entire career is unheard of now.
Yeah.
You know, very rare.
That's why there's so much fluctuation. You know, you win the pennant this year and you don't see it again for